Connectability Radio presents the DSTO Information Sessions, held May 12, 2008. Understanding Person-Directed Planning, presented by Francis McNeil, Honey, and Bill Sherman.
I'd like to welcome you to the Person-Directed Planning Sessions, and I'd like to introduce to you the panel of presenters for this morning. First of all, I'm Gary Pruden. I'm part of the DSTO Service Provider Committee, and I'm here in that capacity this morning. What I'd like to do is, first of all, introduce Bill Sherman to my immediate right. Bill lives in his own apartment, has experienced person-directed planning, and will speak about his experience. But beyond that, Bill lives in his own apartment. He volunteers in a school, and two of his favorite activities are drama and singing. To his immediate right is his mom, Honey, who will also be speaking to her experience in person-directed planning. And then to Honey's right is Francis McNeil. And Francis has a long-standing experience with person-directed planning from Community Living Toronto, and has provided leadership within Community Living Toronto to person-directed planning. The agenda for this morning, the issues that will be covered is: what is person-directed planning, how can it be done, how do we do it, why is it important to have it done, and a personal story about person-directed planning and its impact. So with that, I'll pass it over to the panel.
Okay. So I'm going to start it off before we get to the really important speakers, which are Bill and Honey. I'm going to just do more of an overview, as Gary said, about person-directed planning. You may hear a lot of different terms for planning as you move around. You know, some people say they just do planning, they help out with planning. Some people say it's person-centered planning, you may hear that. Some people call it life planning. Some people will say person-directed planning, like we do. Some people will say we do individual program plans or IPPs. So your experiences will differ as you move around to different agencies or different groups. So don't be confused if you hear person-directed planning today, but then you go someplace else and you're looking for person-directed planning, and they say, well, we do individual program plans or we do planning in general. Okay? It's all more or less the same. It may differ in little ways, and I'm going to talk about specifically how we do it. The other thing is, a lot of agencies, if you go to look for planning, they usually offer planning as part of their supports and services. And so what's different with Community Living Toronto is that we offer planning separately as well. So we have planners who will do community planning, and people may or may not be receiving our supports and services, but they can still ask for planning, and we will still provide planning as a separate service. So in terms of our person-directed planning, we have a lot of different tools that we use, and some are some general tools that have been around for quite a while, and you may have heard of them. Tools like MAPS and PATH. And we also have some internal visual planning tools called SEEK, MUSE, MUSE Review, and PASSPORT. PASSPORT got terms because it came around right at the time of PASSPORT funding, but actually PASSPORT is the planning tool that we're using for a lot of community planning, because it's when people have money, they tend to do very detailed, they need to do very detailed planning around how they're going to use their money. So we're using a lot of this planning tool to kind of get a sense of what is it that you want for the future, and then how can we make those things happen. And planners, you'll hear terms like planners and facilitators as well, and the general kind of rule of thumb is, if we talk about planners are going to come out and help you develop a person-directed plan, it means that they'll come out just to develop the person-directed plan. They'll help you develop the visual plan, they'll walk you and your network through the process, and they'll help in sort of developing that written part. But they don't actually support in terms of making the plan happen. And usually those are facilitators who will actually help in making the plan come about. Okay, so what we're talking about today is planners more. The other thing around person-directed planning, around all the tools, the things that are the same about all the tools is that they focus on the person. as the valued participant. So it's really important that your family member or someone with an intellectual disability is present for their plan, because they own it. It belongs to them. And we really can't do any kind of future planning if it doesn't stem from them and it doesn't revolve around them. They're the guiding light for us. The other thing is that it includes people in their network. Person-directed planning, that's another principle. We have guiding principles, and that's another thing, is we look to people who are in that person's network to be involved. Ultimately, the person who owns the plan, they decide who they invite to the planning session. But in terms of helping them decide who they want, it's looking at who are all the people that know you, who cares about you, who can help in offering suggestions for the future. And this is especially true because people think, and you may be thinking it right now, well, my son or my daughter or my family member has to have a voice in order to do this. And that hasn't been true for us. We've done person-directed planning for people who aren't able to express themselves verbally to say what it is that they want. And that's where the network becomes even more important around them. The other thing is that it builds concrete action plans. When we talk about dreaming for the future and looking at what a person wishes for their future, a lot of people have different styles, and so the people who are really concrete action planners, they think, uh-oh, dreams, So what is this going to be all about? So there are different parts, and I'll go through some of the planning tools that we have, but the dream is really what guides us. And we all have dreams for ourselves, and some of them can come true, and some of them may never come true. My dream as a singer will never come true because I'm tone deaf. It doesn't mean it's not my dream, And I sing to myself, not in front of anybody else, Live that dream privately. So that's the way it is for people. We have to have the dream because it has to guide us so that we know that when we build concrete, positive, possible action plans, that they are leading in the right direction towards somebody's dreams and wishes. It's really important. And it identifies the people who will help in achieving the goal. Someone can't be expected to attain all their goals on their own. We wouldn't expect that of them. So by bringing the network together and doing some planning, people are part of the process right from the beginning of that plan development, and they can see what needs to be done. And that's a nice way of involving the network in looking at how to achieve those goals. And what's really hard for families sometimes is the asking. They have a network around them, and it's hard to ask people to be a part and to help in making things happen for your family member. But what the planning session does is it helps in doing that, because it outlines what's needed, and people can volunteer to make those things happen. So it kind of takes the onus of asking off your shoulders, and we help with that. So I'm going to go through some of the planning tools that we have, just so you get a sense of them. I don't have time to go through them in a great amount of detail. So this is called MAPS. It stands for Making Action Plans. And for people who have been involved in MAPS way back, and you're looking at this and saying, this doesn't look like the old map, they changed it a bit. What it does is, it can sometimes be very helpful when people are just beginning to dream. Because the cloud to the left is around the story, what has brought us to this point. So it gives people a chance to build up and get ready for dreaming. It also, if there's people in a network that are just starting to come together for the first time, it also helps in terms of introducing people to each other. Because often, people in someone's network, they all know how they're connected to the person that they're there for, but they don't actually really know each other very well. So that's what MAP kind of looks at. MAPS also helps if you're looking at problem solving around something in particular. We're at a crossroads and it's time to look at this crossroads and what direction are we going to go in. It helps with setting directions. So planning alternatives, hope, as you can see, it's very long. It's very big. It's actually a process that goes backwards. So you start on the right hand, and that's the North Star, and it's what guides us, that's the dream. But as you go along, it talks about what has happened a year from now, and what has happened 6 months from now, and what has happened 3 months from now, and what has happened tomorrow. And so a lot of times people struggle with thinking to what has happened when it hasn't actually happened. So a lot of times when I've gone out and done the path, I've asked someone, so what's happened a year from now? And somebody will make a suggestion. I'll say, oh, so this has happened a year from now. They'll say, no, it hasn't, because it hasn't happened. And it's just that thinking backwards that people can struggle with. Path is good for groups that are well established, fairly large, strong networks that have a fairly good sense of what their vision is. Groups that have been together for a long time will often do PATH with. And PATH actually started more in the business community, where teams would do more PATH in terms of future action planning. Seeking enjoyment every day, or you'll hear me refer to it as SEED, that's an internal planning tool that we developed. And we developed it for day supports, for people who were looking specifically at what is a meaningful day, what would a meaningful day look like. And so we begin to look at specifically, what are things that you'd like, how would you like to spend your time during the day, during the evening, on the weekends, and start to put a plan together around that. Muse is all separate pieces, and what's really great about Muse is that it can change. So some people will say, well, I really want to do planning, but I'm really not into stars and clouds and sun. And so we can kind of tailor. We'll change the pieces, and we'll just tailor to things that mean something to them. But essentially, it walks through the planning process again in terms of looking at who the person is, what are their strengths, their interests, their gifts, their talents, what is their role in their community, and how can we begin to build dreams and action plans that enhance those strengths and those gifts and those talents, and enhance their role in community so that they're even more entrenched and valued. And the great thing about Muse, what we found, this is only some of the pieces because the person who we facilitated the planning session for, she didn't want all her pieces in the picture, because she didn't want other people to see her action plan. So we have to respect that. So we just took the pieces that she allowed us to take pictures of. What we heard from Muse is that people would say to us, the feedback was, it's really great that we have this person-directed plan and that it's guiding us in our action plans. But how do we know if we're on track? How do we know what we've accomplished? How do we know what the next step is? Do we just kind of wing it from there? So what we did is we actually use Muse Review with any planning tool. And what it does is we'll come together, planners will come together with the network, and we will kind of celebrate the accomplishment. So we'll review the plan that you have, and we'll say, well, what's been accomplished towards that plan? And it's really meant not as judgment about what's not being done, but to celebrate what has been done. And that's a really important piece of it. And then to go from there, okay, so this is what's been accomplished. Were there any barriers or obstacles that we didn't think of before we start planning? Because it's really important that when we build action plans, that those action plans stem not only from somebody's dream, but that it takes them closer to their dream, but it's really important that action plans also address the obstacles to their dream. Otherwise, those obstacles will remain and we wouldn't have done anything about them. The passport plan is in pieces, and again, it has a story piece to it about what brought us here. It has what are the hobbies, the strengths, the talents that somebody brings. And then because there's been funding involved in a lot of these planning sessions, what we'll look at is what's in place already, because funding is meant to supplement all the great things that are already happening. So what we want to make sure is we don't end up actually developing an action plan that takes away from all the great things that are already happening in somebody's life. And we don't want to replace natural supports, you know, unpaid supports. It's really important that we don't bring money in and end up them sort of stepping away and us sort of bringing money in and paid supports. So it's really important for us to know, what are all the natural things that you have happening? And we've actually kept that piece, whether people have funding or not. What are all the natural supports that you have going? And we'll try to enhance that. So the dreaming piece, the obstacle piece, and the action plans. And it's just detailed in terms of what do we want to accomplish, by when, and who's going to do it. So we need to have enrollment in it all the time, people who will sign up. The most important thing to remember is that when we develop and build a person-directed plan, it is just the beginning of the journey. It is not the end. So when you have a person-directed plan, you're just starting to make that plan happen. You're just starting to move towards someone's dreams. And it's really the very beginning of that. So just some benefits for individuals. It enables them to have a voice and be heard. It helps them to feel valued. There's nothing like when somebody says something and you ask them to describe what they see and then you draw it for them. And for people who become planners, what we ask them to do is we ask them to experience planning for themselves so they understand how vulnerable it can be to talk in front of people about your innermost dreams and wishes. And so that they understand that it's really important that people not scoff at you, laugh at you, giggle at your dreams, because it's really important. It's important that they understand that as you go through, they need to make sure that people respect people's dreams. The other thing is they also then understand what it feels like when you describe your dream and somebody draws it for you and you actually start to see it come to life before you, what it is that you're describing. That's when you really feel heard. The other thing is that for some people that we support, they're not able to read. So the previous way that we did planning, where it was more of a paper exercise and more of a meeting, it doesn't really work for them because they're not able to actually visualize it and see. And that's why we started to offer the option of person-directed planning, so that for people who are more visual, and actually what we find is that there's a lot of people who are really visual. Even within people's networks, there's a lot of us who are very visual people. And actually seeing things up on the wall and seeing a dream come together and a plan come together, it engages everybody in the room. For families, it helps them to feel supported because they don't feel like they're on their own. You know, we'll help in doing the asking. The network comes together. We plan it out, and then we ask who can do what. What resources do you know? So it's not a pressure part of the meeting for the family member to feel like they're going to have to ask. And it gives them a clear sense of when people are off doing things, they don't have to feel nervous about what are people doing because they were all part of a plan. Right? And so they know that they're off doing a piece of that plan, but it's all moving towards the dream for your family member. There's all different parts in there, but I'm just summarizing it. The network or staff members around, again, it helps to give direction. You know, people generally, what we found over the years, and I've been facilitating person-directed plans for over 10 years, and what I've always found is even when people say, no, it's just my son or my daughter and us, and that's it. But when you bring a network together, what I've always found is people are just waiting to be asked. They just want to know what it is that they can do to help. And what I often find is that their interaction prior to that has been where someone will see a family member and say, well, is there anything you can do to help? And the family member will think about it, and it's overwhelming because there's so much to do, and say, No, it's okay, we got it all well in hand. And then the network person sort of steps away. And that happens a lot through many, many years of people's interactions with their networks. So planning can help to bring your network around you and help to support. And it gives them some ideas of how they can help. I want to move on to the really important part, which is Bill and Honey, to actually tell their story. So we have a video of Bill that we'd like to show you, which he did, but he's going to introduce his video first. Is that right, Bill?
Yes, darling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to start off?
Sure, you can stick with me.
All right.
I'm in love with you all the time.
Bill will make anybody feel
she's
good
adopted.
About having a bad day.
Come she's adopted. He adopted her, so mm-hmm. You have to understand.
Okay.
I'm going to do my speech. If anyone has any questions, they're willing to ask. I'm going to read my speech. If anyone has any questions, go ahead and ask me some questions. My name is Bill Sherman, and I used to go to St. Jude's, but I'm going to be talking about parents who have problems and why. So the reason why I'm going to be doing it, because Francis asked me to do it, and because some parents don't know what to do with their kids. But I'll read this and then I'll explain to you after I finish.
After the movie.
because the parents have some problems and they have difficulty what to do with their kids. Like for example, like getting dressed in the morning and how to dress appropriate and get their kids to dress appropriate as well so they can go to school and learn. And the reason I'm doing it because this is an important job for me to do, and I'm also for volunteering, and what I'll be doing also a volunteer job. So if you have any questions, I'm here to answer it.
Well done, guys. Now, can we see the movie?
I will talk about how the path meaning helped me achieve my goals and my dreams and my two path meetings. So what was the first one? The first one was on April 26, 1998.
And this is what the movie's about.
Then the second movie was on March 26, 1999, in the path meeting was Jay Scott, who was doing all the talking, and now I travel on my own doing some volunteer job. Also, I attended to reading class at Frontier College. Frontier College, that's where I used to learn how to read. I also went to the bereavement group. I was helping clients there who lost their family. I helped them and support them so they can move on. Also, when
I order
my meds for every month. I go to cooking class and Abel's Park Friday nightclub. I want to get married and have my own happy family, and borrow videos at the library. I love going to the theaters. Yes, I love doing weather reports. I love playing bingo at the nursing home. It is very important to take care of your personal hygiene, or the kids must understand what's right or wrong, means what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Understand. And would be done having showers in the morning, fresh. Dress every day appropriate. Dressing, shaving. I also have a cat named Muko. Kids could also take care of animals like a horse or a pig or a sheep or a dog or a rabbit. Any farm animals. I now travel on my own, and I know the bus routes. I love going to baseball games. I love dining out or doing drama or going to camp. I love singing, listening to music, and playing Elton John or Cat Stevens videos on, and watching breakfast television like I do every morning. I would love to encourage all of you here to have a path, meaning it will give or gave me sense of direction and to where to go and what's me, Bill Sherman.
Excellent, Bill. Thank you. Great job, Bill.
Okay. Yes, darling.
I'm going to play you a video, okay?
Okay, I'll take you on a date.
You have to go check with her husband. Okay.
A place where I can cook and look after myself. I can cook now, do laundry, clean the apartment, make sure the apartment is nice and clean. I answer the phone, I got your phone, thank God for that. Not really paying for it, but I'm not going to let it anymore. I answer the phone, but I don't want to, I like to keep it as free. 3 weeks to Renee, I was dreaming to do something what's important instead of sitting at home doing nothing. And I came up with another one November 17, 2005, and it was this one, about helping other people take care. You know, my brother got married in June 11, so this is what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about that too, because I haven't had a turn yet to get married. I couldn't find the right person to get married to yet. I'm thinking of it. So I would be a father, and I would look after kids to look after. So I won't be driving a car, but I'll be taking TTC. You know what I love better than that med massage treatment? I love that. Do you know why I love massages? Because they make me feel good. Seizures will go away, but if I keep taking meds, it irritates me. I like to make an arrangement. Right? And sometimes men butt in and I say, Mom, let me make a plan. It's up to let him make his own plan. But sometimes men butt in. When I'm having a neat plan, I make it. But sometimes Mom makes plans all the time, and I think because she keeps making plans for me, how am I going to be responsible?
What happened there?
It's okay.
December 2005, I think, or 4, I think that's when I had a seizure and I lost my balance. When I went about my practice, Julia, the aliens come and pick me up and bring me home. They think I have a seizure. When I ride my bike, but I know how to ride a bike, and I want responsibility. That's why a tree can help me unlock the bicycle fun, but I want to pick it up myself. That's responsibility. That's taking responsibility. Same thing with swimming. The same thing with swimming. Someone has to go in the water with me, because I can't see. I don't do physical swimming for myself.
Okay, so I think you hear the theme of dignity of risk in Bill's video throughout it. And nobody knows that journey better than his mom, so I'm going to hand it over to Honey now.
Thank you. Well, you've certainly heard some very definite words on the subject of person-directed planning and from a very outspoken client. You saw before you a very verbal and determined young man who has over the years had to overcome some incredible obstacles on his journey toward independence, as well as control over decision-making. It could not have happened without the many life path meetings that were created for him over the last 10 years. Bill himself came up with the term that has inspired him along the way. He claims that the mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. So bear that in mind. The first meeting took place, as he told you, in my family room 10 years ago. 19 people were present.
1998.
Yes, dear. He's always correcting me. Present to help Bill achieve.
And the second was 1999.
I got that. Okay. To help Bill achieve his dream of self-determination. They were there at the invitation of community living. The facilitator at that time was Jay Scott, a man whose memory shines through all these years of trial and error along the way. The thing I remember Jay saying at that time was, "Those of you who are prepared to help Bill achieve his dreams are welcome here, and if you are willing to be part of this process, you will know a great sense of pride and accomplishment when Bill fulfills your expectations, as I know he will in time." That was the beginning of a very amazing journey for us all. That we can stand here and hear from Bill himself how he achieved his goals by planning for the future. So much has been given to him along the way. Confidence, assurance, skills, pride, friendships, and best of all, people who have made a mark in his life that will never, ever be forgotten. Person-directed planning is the answer to programs that deny our young people the challenges that they need to deal with in order to survive in the real world. We can no longer deny them their right to be part of that world. But first, we have to give them the tools to survive in a world not of their making. Bill has told you that PATH meetings gave him the resources to move forward, and the people who committed to support him throughout those encounters were central to his success along the way. No one ever let him down, so he couldn't let himself down. And that's how the program works, and it will always work for the needs of young people with challenges to deal with in their lives. Make sure the children that you have in your care find support along the way. And Bill and I are here to tell you it works. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share these thoughts with you as another parent who knows only too well the barriers our kids must break down to achieve their life goals. And Developmental Services of Toronto is here to help make the journey easier for all of us. Thank you once again for this opportunity.
And when Honey talks about Jay saying that, it was a very real situation at that time where there were a lot of people who couldn't see that potential in Bill at that time. Bill was on a lot of medications because of his seizures.
It was horrible.
You said it. And it was really, I think it's his brother who says it best, who says it was like he was living in a fog, and it was really hard to communicate with him, to involve him in doing things. And it was just through people who really believed in Bill and who were willing to see that dream come true that actually looked at what were the little steps that could do that. And it hasn't been a quick journey. It's been a long journey, and it still has its challenges all the time. But definitely the dignity of risking has its benefits and has its rewards. And for Bill, it's been all about making his dream come true.